Steve Dingle returns to his Filipino homeland to look for a bride and finds Kathy Estevez.
I guess he was awestruck. Seen a very beautiful young lady.
To be able to come to Hawaii, it would be, you know, just a dream.
A dream that's not shared by everyone.
Get rid of her!
Their family didn't like Kathy. I don't know why.
They're coming!
As the couple finds themselves adrift in a sea of troubles.
We caught my dad at the lady's house that he was fooling around with.
Just go home!
Leave my family alone!
Their island paradise becomes hell on earth.
I wanted to punch him, beat him up.
Because this is my house and I do what I want!
I will kill you. I don't care if they don't have a mother. What the hell happened?
Love may be blind and marriage bliss, but divorce is murder. Steve Dingle, a Filipino native who now lives in Hawaii, is making a long-awaited trip back home. Family and friends have missed his gregarious presence.
He was very outgoing, kind of almost yearning for the center of attention, whether it was singing or joking or drinking.
Steve is traveling with a family friend, Ludovico, who's moving back home to the Philippines for his retirement. But this is no ordinary holiday for Steve. At the age of 26, he's got a steady job in the Hawaiian tourism industry, and he's ready to settle down. He's come back to look for a wife.
All right, man.
You're a lucky man.
You know how long I've been waiting for this?
A lot of times, families here in Hawaii, they have families back home in the Philippines, and they were asking to see if any single male was available to marry that family member and bring them back here.
Steve checks out a couple of prospects, but comes away disappointed.
Sorry, Ludo. Not for me.
Steve packs his bags, ready to return to his bachelor life in Hawaii. But then he gets an unexpected visit from his traveling companion, Ludovico.
My grandpa was gonna send some stuff back from the Philippines for the family back here.
Hi.
Hey.
Here is the package for Hawaii.
Oh, hi.
Hi.
Nice to meet you.
Nice to meet you too.
That's how Steve first set eyes on Kathy. I guess he was awestruck. Seen a very beautiful young lady.
Yeah. You want to come in?
From that time, he took interest.
So, Kathy, what's your story? Are you in school?
Yeah, I go to a Columbine.
Kathy Bautista Estevez is Ludovico's teenage granddaughter. And the older man isn't happy that Steve is taking such an interest in her.
He
didn't like it because Kathy was still in high school.
At that time, Kathy was 16 years old.
Steve is taken with her looks and her quiet confidence.
I think his appeal was the physical attraction of her beauty and the way she carried herself. You know, she was quiet and reserved, very pleasant personality.
Have you ever been to Hawaii?
No.
Really? It's a really beautiful place. I mean, we'll have to show you.
I don't know.
Really? Once you graduate, I mean, come on. I'm sure you would like to travel the world, right?
Where's your restroom?
Oh, in the corner over there.
From Kathy's perspective, Steve would be a great catch. The woman he marries will get a U.S. green card. And now is a good time to be leaving the Philippines. Since the People Power Revolution 4 years earlier, the Philippines has been shaken by attempted coups and economic troubles. As far as Steve is concerned, Kathy would also be a good match. She's hardworking and studious. She speaks English and is planning to enroll in a technical college after high school.
She's seen an opportunity to come to Hawaii and to have a better life. And my aunt and my grandpa guys wasn't poor, 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 where they were really, really struggling. And for Kathy, I think she was determined to make a better living for herself and eventually for her family.
Psychotherapist Stacy Kaiser and forensic psychologist Brian Russell are concerned that Kathy is too young to make such a life-changing decision.
She's still a minor at this point, so I don't think that that's relationship material for him. She's still in high school, she's starting to develop her personality, and he's off on his own working and living an adult's life. Steve is really just looking for a wife. And it seems like his criteria is someone of the same culture who has similar values. So I think when he meets Kathy, he says to himself, she meets my criteria. And age at that moment doesn't matter to him.
The problem in this case, though, is that she hasn't really fully formed, developed herself yet into the kind of an adult who could make an intelligent choice as to what they wanted in a long-term healthy relationship going forward. Even if they decide to go forward with it now, down the road they might regret it, and then you might end up losing it.
But her age does matter to Kathy's family, who put a hold on this budding romance.
So, you ever been to Hawaii?
No. Do you like living there?
It's a bit lonely.
Maybe this will help.
Goodbye, and thanks again.
Bye.
Steve returns home, lovesick and empty-handed. But he can't get Kathy out of his mind.
Steve sent me a letter to pass on to Kathy. Maybe it was a love letter.
As the months go by, Steve patiently conducts his long-distance courtship. Kathy is a reluctant correspondent.
In the beginning, though, she didn't want to write back. Especially for women, we tend to protect ourselves, you know, so to speak, and we don't want to get hurt.
Steve is working hard as a bellman at a luxurious beach resort, saving up money so that he can bring Kathy to Hawaii to live with him. It's a modest job by American standards, but it's a lot more than Kathy or her family could make in the Philippines. Kathy still isn't responding to his letters, in part because of pressure from her family.
I'm excited to tell you.
I tell my husband, your daughter got a letter from Hawaii. He said to me, why are you so happy? You know she's too young.
He said to me.
But that doesn't mean she's not interested. She confides in her Aunt Ida, who lives in Hawaii. Ida, who used to work with Steve, knows him well.
She
saw that Steve was really pursuing her. So she asked me what Steve was like.
Steve, how?
I told her.
How is?
Hi, Auntie, it's Kathy.
What? He is a really good guy.
Okay, I gotta go. I'm gonna call you back. Bye.
With Ida's influence, Kathy's family is finally warming up to the idea.
Dad!
But there's a new obstacle to their relationship. Now his family is opposed.
This is no good for you. Get rid of her.
Steve's family didn't like Kathy. They expected him to marry somebody of quote-unquote higher status. And they wanted their son to marry somebody with money or marry into a family that had money.
In an attempt to break up the couple, Steve's family checks up on Kathy in the Philippines, trying to dig up gossip that could turn him against her.
Is it? We pass by in school for Catherine.
They told Steve they passed by Kathy's school and saw her talking to a guy.
We see her talking to
Steve. They called Steve long distance whenever they saw Kathy talking to someone.
To Steve, the little
Indian. They said he better forget about Kathy because someone is courting her here in the Philippines.
Philippines, Catherine.
But nothing is going to distract Steve from his primary objective, bringing Kathy to Hawaii. And now that she's turned 18, Steve's determined that this time he won't be going back to Hawaii alone.
What's going on?
These are for you.
They're beautiful.
Kathy, will you marry me?
They are married in the Philippines that year.
It wasn't a typical Filipino wedding. It was like the white dress, and since Steve was from here, he had money. So it was more like an American wedding.
Steve's parents do not attend.
Marriage and family are typically highly valued in Filipino culture, so you would expect that his family would be excited that he's met somebody that he's excited about. So the fact that they're not signifies to me that they had significant cause for concern about whether or not this was being done for the right reasons, was the right match, or whatever.
At least some of Steve's extended family attend, suggesting they're ready to accept the match with Kathy.
Hi, sweetie.
But soon, acceptance will turn to sabotage.
I don't understand what you're talking about.
Can I get it?
He called my daughter a liar.
Because you're a liar.
Despite his family's opposition to their long-distance romance, expat Filipino Steve Dingle has married his young love, Kathy Estevez, back home in the Philippines. Within a year, Steve returns to Hawaii with his new bride. Kathy has high expectations.
To be able to come to Hawaii and, you know, start a family, start a life, build something, it would be, you know, just a dream.
For Kathy, the marriage did not begin with instant attraction, but that can all change with time.
A lot of times for Filipinos, marriage isn't really necessarily based around love. It's based around security and being able to provide for your family. She learned to love Steve. She didn't just use Steve to come here.
Marrying someone for a green card can have pros and cons to a relationship. On the pro side, a person can really feel grateful and indebted to the person that they married because they feel like they brought to a better life and it makes them more loyal and dedicated to the relationship. On the flip side, it also creates an imbalanced power dynamic because one person has given someone something and the other person doesn't have the same thing to offer them in return. And so that can create a level of a relationship that causes conflict.
Whatever the future holds, for now, they're having fun.
They had dates. They used to go to dinner, watch movies. he'd always be joking around and stuff. And he was always happy also.
It'll be so fun. Come on.
Wow, those are huge.
Well, welcome to America, home of the brave. Very brave.
They settle near Hilo on the east side of Hawaii's Big Island, far off the tourist trail.
Hilo is definitely very much a working town. It's the seat of the government, the county government. The other side of the island is more the touristy side.
Soon after their arrival in Hilo, Kathy and Steve announce they're expecting. But it doesn't stop Kathy from working a full-time job.
For Filipino Americans, they work really, really hard. And Kathy was one of those typical Filipinos that was so determined to make a better life for herself and her family. She worked hard.
And she working even she pregnant only.
She was 8 months pregnant and still working. She only stopped a week before she gave birth.
With Steve's salary at the hotel, together they make just enough to buy a small house in the suburb of Mountain View. The future is bright for their growing family.
They're living the American dream, yeah.
Everything was good. Everybody was like happy.
The arrival of children can change a dynamic in a relationship for the good or for the bad. On a positive side, it's a way of uniting each other. It makes them feel more connected. They've got little beings that have a little bit of both of them. And it can really help a couple. On the negative side, that can create a lot of stress and pressure, particularly if they have any disagreements when it comes to parenting.
I'm concerned about Kathy a little bit when I look at how much this young woman has been through. Starting at the age of 18, she's getting married. She's moving across the world away from many people in her larger social support system. She's becoming a mother. Combine all those three things together, that's a lot even for a mature woman to handle.
10 years after they meet, Kathy and Steve find themselves raising three boys and a girl. The Dingles seem content. But Steve's family still disapproves of Kathy, and they're not done causing trouble.
Their family didn't like Kathy. I don't know why.
Steve's sister, Ida, has news that might reveal at least one of those reasons.
I saw Kathy the other day, and she was wearing a very expensive watch, and I'd never seen it before.
What are you talking about?
Where did she get the money?
This is ridiculous.
I just thought you should know.
Thanks.
Hi, sweetie.
So I found the receipt for your expensive watch.
Yeah, this is the receipt for the watch, so?
No, talking about the other one, the expensive one, the one you've been sending your sisters.
Okay, Steve, there's no other watch. I don't understand what you're talking about.
But Kathy's denials only make him angrier. Soon, Steve and Kathy's quarrels over money escalate.
This is a house in Philippines. Where can we get all the money for this?
When he learns Kathy's mother is building a house in the Philippines.
Kathy never said a word about this.
Of course it doesn't tell you about this.
He becomes convinced that Kathy is paying for it.
Steve told my daughter, I have no more money because you sent it to the Philippines for your mother to build a house.
It's not true, but Steve's family has planted the seeds of suspicion. And now he's ready to believe almost anything.
Steve, what are you doing home?
How is she paying for this?
What are you talking about?
tell me the truth. Are you paying for this?
What? This is my mom's house. What are you talking?
You're a liar, Kathy!
See?
And I can't stand liars.
Again with my sister because you are a liar.
He called my daughter a liar. That's when I started worrying.
With tensions simmering in the marriage, Steve opts for the easy solution.
My dad used to not come home and stuff. It would just be my brothers and sister and my mom and then my grandma, and then my dad wouldn't be home.
Steve seems to be disengaging from his family, and that's deeply concerning because when one parent disengages for any reason, it creates a big void. It makes matters even worse, though, when the person appears to have disengaged voluntarily.
Steve appeared to have everything that he wanted. He sought out a wife, he sought out a family. And so when you begin to see somebody walking away from the very thing that they worked so hard to achieve, it's suspicious and concerning. It makes me wonder what is going on in that household or what is going on outside of that household that is keeping him away.
Steve claims there's a good reason for his absence. He's trying to make ends meet.
He would say that he's working overtime, and then we'd call his work to see if he was working. He wouldn't be working.
One small lie might be forgivable, but when lying turns into betrayal, it's a mortal sin.
He was disappearing for months at a time.
It was a war between them two.
As tensions mount in the Dingle household, Kathy is becoming suspicious about Steve's mysterious absences from home.
He was disappearing for months at a time and come home for a week and then gone again for months at a time. He was absent. Absent in a relationship, absent as a father.
Kathy's mother comes over from the Philippines to help out with the kids. She finds it disturbing that Steve is never around.
Doesn't he care about his own kids?
I'm asking my daughter, how come Steve... home.
I asked Kathy, how come he's never home? He came home, took his clothes, and went out again. He didn't even sleep there, not even one night.
Finally, Steve offers an explanation for his absences. He's got a second job as a taxi driver and is sleeping in his cab. But when Kathy's mom does the laundry, she becomes suspicious.
He didn't meet 3 weeks.
He told me he slept in his taxi for 3 weeks, and then he would come home. But he didn't leave any dirty laundry or pick up any clean clothes. So I asked Kathy, where are his clothes?
Clean clothes only.
Even worse than implausible excuses, Steve stops paying the bills and the mortgage, leaving Kathy in dire financial straits.
He went to work, he made his money, he did and spent it however he wanted to. Not a dime on his kids, not a dime on his wife, not a dime to any of the household bills.
Mom, I need $20 for school.
What?
I need $20 for school.
I don't have 20 bucks.
But I really need it.
Go, you poor sister.
She ended up getting a second job to support her family because of the absence of her husband.
Kathy has many questions for her absent spouse. One night, after Steve has stopped by the house and forgotten his phone, she sees her chance to get answers.
My mom checked his phone one night. She seen a number and she was asking who's that.
Steve's been calling a woman every day, often several times a day.
Kids, we're going for a ride.
In a small community like Hilo, it's not hard to track the woman down. She works at the next door resort to where Steve works.
Kids, wait in here.
Kathy summons up the courage to confront Steve's lover, Gloria Aquino.
We went to the house and stuff, and then we was knocking on the door.
Steve! I know you're in there. Open the door! Steve!
What? You shouldn't have come here.
You lied to me this whole time?
Kathy, go home.
How can you do this to the children, huh?
Just go home!
Steve is caught red-handed.
You leave my husband alone, you slut! What did you say? You ugly backcountry loser, come here! What? Loser, come what? Here!
Kathy, go home!
Don't touch me!
While I completely understand Kathy's desire to jump in her car and catch her husband in the act, her decision to bring her children along was really unfair to them and inappropriate. Kids are supposed to be insulated from their parents' problems. They don't need to know all of the ins and outs of the betrayals and the lies. And so the fact that they're being faced with this and having to see their father with another woman could be something that not only hurts their relationship with their father, but it could impact their future relationships with other people because their trust has been shattered.
Kathy may have hoped that if she would have caught Steve, if she would have confronted Steve, that somehow that would shake Steve or shake the affair, tremendous damage that they were doing to this family. Unfortunately, I can tell you in my experience that it's highly unlikely that just getting caught is going to cause a person in the long run to become a different, better person. So it leads me to think that Steve's focus is not on the family. Steve's focus is on Steve.
Kathy hopes the unpleasant confrontation will spell the end of the affair. She soon learns the hard way that she's wrong.
Kathy found a videotape in the trunk of their car. And she was curious what was on it.
Inside.
They were actually making love in Kathy and Steve's own bedroom, in their house.
How can you do this to me?
Leave me alone, Kathy.
Why did you have to do it at our own house?
Because this is my house, and I do what I want!
Mommy.
Kathy's family urges her to leave her husband.
People are telling her, what are you waiting for? Divorce him already. Divorce him, make him pay child support, whatever alimony, you know, you're gonna have all that stuff.
But Kathy refuses. She has strong feelings against divorce. Like most Filipinos, she's Catholic, and divorce is illegal in the Philippines. Her instinct is to tough it out.
My daughter didn't want to get divorced because the children were so young. She didn't follow my advice.
At work, Steve's affair is shrugged off, possibly because it isn't the only illicit relationship among staff. One of the Filipino employees in his department is having an affair with another employee, and she's making little effort to conceal it. One evening, the affair comes to a brutal end. The woman's husband ambushes them in the parking lot and coolly pulls a gun on his wife's lover.
Hey! Lito Mateo shot and killed the victim in the parking lot of a hotel in Waikoloa. There are actually 18 bullet holes within the victim.
the murder sends shockwaves through the tight-knit Filipino community in Hawaii.
We all knew about it. Hilo is a small town.
Steve is especially shaken by the killing. Given the troubles in his own marriage, he decides to file for divorce.
He's the one that initiated the divorce, and she was willing to go along with it. You know, I think she was at that point, well, you're not around already, so what's the difference?
She'd been waiting for Steve so long, but she finally wanted to divorce him and move on. You go with your girlfriend, and she do what she wants. You know why? Because the kids are getting older.
But as the divorce proceeds, Steve starts to realize how much he has to lose.
Kathy would have gotten the house, would have gotten the kids. He probably would have paid child support and alimony for the financial responsibilities of the family.
This can't be right.
With so much at stake, Steve calls off the divorce.
He changed his mind because he didn't want to become financially responsible for Kathy and the kids and have to lose his home.
I don't want a divorce.
With Steve willing to come back to her and the family, Kathy agrees to give him one more chance. But there's one thing that Steve refuses to give up.
He didn't want to get a divorce, but he didn't want to stop his affair either.
Leave my family alone!
This patched-over marriage is primed and ready to explode.
The restraining order was mostly for the girlfriend to stay away from Kathy.
Steve Dingle has been cheating on his wife, Kathy, for years, but he refuses to divorce her. As Kathy tries to deal with Steve's ongoing affair, she receives an unexpected phone call.
Who is this?
The slut.
How dare you?
I think truly the mistress was in love with Steve and wanted to break up the marriage.
Why are you calling me?
Because I hate you.
You leave my family alone.
He's mine and there's nothing you can do about it.
Don't touch my family. Leave my family alone.
She was constantly harassing Kathy with phone calls.
The harassing calls become more frequent and more threatening.
I'm having sex with your husband right now.
It gets so bad that even Steve realizes that Kathy needs some legal protection.
Steve went with Kathy to do the restraining order. The restraining order was mostly for the girlfriend to stay away from Kathy.
Though he doesn't break off the affair, he does return home. A rare moment of closeness between the couple. But that tenderness is quickly shattered.
Yeah, I love you too. Bye. He supposedly overheard Kathy on a phone call and said, I love you.
Bye.
Steve has been unfaithful to Kathy for almost 10 years. But now he's suspicious that Kathy too might be seeing someone else.
Hey.
A few days later, he shows up unexpectedly outside his children's school.
He's being all nice. It was kind of, like, weird, like, for him to.
Thought I'd walk home with you.
Okay.
Come on.
And then, like, he's telling me, oh, you guys want to go to Disneyland and all of that kind of stuff. I told him.
How are we supposed to go to Disneyland if you don't even have money?
Whoa, hey, hey.
Steve's real motive soon becomes apparent.
Does your mother have a new boyfriend?
Even if I knew, I wouldn't tell you.
I told him, why do you care when, like, you're doing the same thing? And then he kind of got mad and, like, he didn't say anything.
I'm your father. You can't talk to me like that.
Whatever.
Having failed in his attempt to get more information from his son, Steve turns to Plan B.
Hello? AJ. It's your Uncle Steve.
Steve was at work during the day, and he had placed a call to his nephew to go and look for Catherine.
Listen, I need you to do me a favor.
Soon, AJ reports back.
Hello?
Hey, Tito. I saw Kathy with another man.
He supposedly saw a male figure talking with Kathy.
Steve says he's sick and leaves work early. Together, he and AJ go off in search of Kathy and her male friend.
Take me where you saw Kathy.
Sure, let's go.
He's more convinced than ever that his wife is having an affair. And now he desperately wants her back.
Steve was tracking her down that day. He checked various parts in Hilo, you know, looking for her, looking for her car. And they weren't able to find her.
What happens next is unexpected, brutal, and shocking.
Oh, what are you doing?
Kathy is rushed to the hospital, and the family rushes to her side.
We get a phone call from my mom, who's already at the hospital. My mom tells my husband that Kathy was stabbed.
The family learns that Kathy has undergone emergency surgery for 8 stab wounds to her abdomen.
She's having internal bleeding already, and we don't even know if she's gonna survive.
Kathy's family still doesn't know what happened or who stabbed her.
Mom? Mom?
Nobody could tell me anything.
At 1:05 a.m., Kathy Estevez Dingle succumbs to her injuries. She is 38 years old.
It's just something that you would never have expected. Shock. Just a shock. And it's like, what the hell happened? What happened? You want answers. You want to know what's going on.
As they reel from the shock of Kathy's brutal murder, they are alarmed to discover that Steve is a patient in the same hospital. They are even more stunned when they learn from detectives how Steve got there.
She was going crazy.
Witnesses hear her screaming.
Kathy Dingle is dead and husband Steve wounded, possibly by the same attacker. What happened that day in Hilo? For answers, police turn to Steve's nephew, AJ.
Take me where you saw Kathy.
Sure, let's go.
AJ tells police that he and Steve finally found Kathy around 5 p.m. that afternoon.
There she is. Pull over. AJ, get out of here. Don't wait up for me.
Steve tells him, don't go over there. Just keep on going. Keep driving.
That's you. What are you doing?
Stop it! Stop!
She runs out through the parking lot onto the sidewalk. She's running for her life.
At this point, he catches up to her and stabbed her twice.
Onlookers rush to protect her from her assailant.
He was confronted by the male with the bat.
Kathy tries again to get away. Finally, a nearby driver sees his chance to end this ferocious assault once and for all.
It's terrible to have to say, but the vast majority of the murders recorded on this island will be between two people who are very well known to each other.
It was my husband.
For a person to commit a gruesome, horrific murder like that in broad daylight in front of other people, they are just consumed with rage and feel that nothing matters anymore. Doesn't matter if I get killed in this, doesn't matter if the cops come and shoot me, doesn't matter if I get arrested and go to prison, doesn't matter if my kids are orphaned. Nothing matters but me taking out my rage and vengeance upon this person who has done this horrible thing to me.
In situations like these, we often find ourselves scratching our heads saying, why would this happen? Anger and unhappiness manifest itself in different ways. Just because Steve was quiet often and distant from the family didn't mean that there wasn't some sort of storm brewing. And he may have secretly been angry with Kathy for a long time about the spending, about parenting issues, about her possible betrayal, and it finally exploded into a rage that killed her.
With multiple witnesses, the police move quickly.
Steve was charged by a grand jury of murder in the second degree, which is knowingly killing another person.
But he does try to explain his actions. He will argue that he was under extreme emotional duress when he killed Kathy, a form of psychosis brought about by jealousy.
He tried to claim insanity. I love you too.
But then investigators learn that only days before the murder, he'd already revealed his capacity for violence.
You think you can fool around on me?
And his murderous intent.
I will kill you if you fool around with another man. I don't care if the kids don't have a mother.
What we did know is that prior to him murdering Kathy, he had gotten into an argument with her nights before where he had threatened her in front of her mother, in front of their son.
Bolstering the case that Steve had planned the killing, surveillance footage reveals that minutes before attacking Kathy, he purchased the murder weapon.
There was footage from a supermarket in the downtown area where he buys the biggest knife there, not the smallest one, not a medium, but the biggest knife there, which he used to stab Kathy.
It becomes clear that Kathy's killing was entirely premeditated.
There was no loss of self-control. He made choices that day. He did leave work early.
Take me where you saw Kathy. Sure.
He did drive around, literally hunting down his wife, trying to look for her.
He planned it, you know. He had the devil in him, you know. That's, I'm gonna kill this lady.
Faced with overwhelming evidence of premeditation, Steve pleads guilty. He is sentenced to life in prison with the possibility of parole.
In court, I believe the one sentence he just said was, yes, I'm responsible for taking the life. And the judge says, you know, who was that? And he said, Kathy, my wife.
Steve showed no remorse, never said sorry, not once, only in the court. Even then, he just said, I'm sorry for what I did, but I love my kids. That doesn't answer nothing. That doesn't answer anything. That doesn't tell us why he did it, what was said, what came out of it, what drove him to that point.
There's an earlier murder in this story where one of Steve's co-workers kills his wife's affair partner. And you have to wonder if there might have been something of a copycat effect here, if he maybe sort of admired that guy in a twisted sort of a way for having sort of asserted his manhood somehow. And since Steve really didn't have any identifiable affair partner to go after, he took it up a notch, took it a step further, and actually went after Kathy. I have a theory about Steve, which is that he had some underlying self-loathing for not being able to provide for Kathy and the kids to the level that another guy might have. And he did what some people unfortunately do, which is develop resentment towards the reminders, the constant reminders of his own inadequacy. So I just wonder if Steve didn't carry around some very negative feelings about himself that sort of spilled over into all of the rest of this.
Yeah. I don't think she was having an affair. I think she started to confide in someone and started to become close and build a friendship with someone.
I miss her a lot. And I wish that she got through the divorce while she was alive.
Kathy's children now live with her mother, Lydia.
It's hard because all that kind of...
It's hard. Kathy's supposed to be taking care of the children, but it's me. I'm all alone.
All the kind. I know, like...
I don't like to talk about my daughter anymore.
Daughter already. Because...
Because I'm tired of crying. I cry all the time. Day and night.
He's crying.
Steve and Kathy's son, Castley, has tried to understand why his father did what he did.
After like 2 years, he finally said sorry. But I got so mad, I told him, oh, why you even say sorry? Even though you say sorry, like, we're still getting hurt.
She was a good person. She was a good mother. She was a good daughter. She had four children who she loved and would do anything for. She didn't deserve to die the way she did.